It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up, a proposal from the U.S. Department of Energy would change the way electricity is priced, giving a boost to the coal and nuclear industries. An energy expert gives us the details.
First, the United States announced this week that it plans to pull out of the United Nations Educational, Science, and Cultural Organization, better known as UNESCO. The Trump administration has cited mounting costs as well as a perceived anti-Israel bias from within the organization.
UNESCO is best known for its cultural preservation work and its list of protected World Heritage Sites, but its relationship with the U.S. has been rocky from time to time, and the United States has left UNESCO in the past.
Colm Lynch is a UN-based senior diplomatic reporter for Foreign Policy magazine. Colm, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So, what would you say is behind the United States' plans to withdraw from UNESCO?
As you mentioned, they've always had a rocky relationship. I mean, I think the issue that really tipped them in the direction of making the announcement this week was that back in 2011, the U.S. Stopped funding UNESCO, and we used to pay for about 22% of their budget, about $80 million a year, because of legislation which prohibited the U.S. from funding U.N. agencies that allowed Palestine in as a member state, which UNESCO did. So what has been happening is that the U.S. is still a member and has been a member since then, and it still gets charged for all of these, you know, these tens of millions of dollars worth of obligations, and those have been building over the years. So it looks like the Americans are in debt of sort of north of $550 million, and so I think there was a lot of pressure to stop the bleeding, and that, you know, they were other issues involving, you know, resolutions, you know, periodic resolutions, which would recognize very sensitive religious sites in Hebron and other parts of the region as Palestinian sort of heritage sites, and that was sort of offended the Israelis and the Americans. So there was some tension over that. Also, the Americans cited, you know, sort of frustration with the sort of reforms that they'd hoped to be implemented. It was sort of ironic today as the, you know, all of this played out in the week that the UNESCO was selecting a new director general, and they just announced the election of the first ever Jewish director general of UNESCO, Audrey Azoulay, the French candidate, which was kind of interesting.
Is there anything to read into that choice?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I doubt that that played into the calculations of Israel or the United States. But I think it's kind of interesting from another perspective, in the sense that there was an expectation that this was the Arabs' year to have their first director general, but there was this other sort of, you know, intramural kind of squabble going on between countries behind two of the key Arab candidates, the Qatari candidate and the Egyptian candidate. And Qatar, which was leading for most of the period, was sort of, you know, virulently opposed by the rest of the Arab world, particularly those who support Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and wanted to back the Egyptian candidate. So in a sense, they ended up kind of canceling themselves out. And when the Egyptians lost out, they encouraged all of their followers to back the French campaign. So I think this fight over Qatar and their kind of increasing diplomatic isolation sort of ended up, you know, tipping the balance towards Azoulay and undermining their own chances of getting an Arab at the head of the organization.
And you had written that the French were very hopeful and that the United States would stay engaged in UNESCO. What was at stake for France?
Well, for France, I mean, I think this is a broader question for France, which is, you know, that they are, you know, there is tension not just between the French and the Americans, but all of the European allies and much of the rest of the world over, you know, the American sort of the withdrawal from the Paris Agreement, the big climate change agreement, and the French have a lot invested in that. There have been sharp differences over the President Trump's decision to decertify the Iran nuclear deal, which has broad support from the Europeans. So this is for them another sign of the Americans kind of disengaging not supporting close allies on issues that are important to them. So I think that, you know, they had hoped that the Americans would back this. When President Macron of France met with President Trump in September at the United Nations, he personally asked him to support the French candidate. And apparently, you know, Tillerson, who was in the room, kind of, you know, walked up and said, well, you know, actually, we're thinking of pulling out of the organization. And apparently Trump replied, well, maybe we can vote for your candidate before we leave.
Talking to Colm Lynch right now, a UN-based senior diplomatic reporter for Foreign Policy magazine. We're talking about the United States' decision to withdraw from UNESCO. And Colm, let's talk about UNESCO in the big picture now. Can you tell us a little bit about what UNESCO does, the type of work that they do, and what the main bodies of action that we might recognize them for are?
I mean, the thing that they're best known for are their famous heritage sites all over the world, and they kind of identify and try to protect important historical sites around the world. And so, you know, that's what everybody kind of knows them for. But they also, I mean, they were established after Second World War. This principle of making access, scientific information, education accessible to large numbers of people was kind of at the core of their mandate. There have been a lot of sort of ideological battles. They have been viewed in the U.S. and also other capitals in Europe as, in previous years, as sort of anti-Western, as having, you know, viewed in Washington, particularly by conservative governments, as too, you know, as kind of pro-Soviet. So there were a lot of these kind of Cold War divisions, which kind of increased tensions among countries. More recently, the United States under George W. Bush under President Reagan, we had pulled out of the organization before, back in 1984. President Bush brought us back in, and it, you know, it seemed like there was kind of, you know, more basis for cooperation on education, supporting education and all around the world, in Africa and other parts of the world. So that they do a broad range of issues. One of the things that they seem to be kind of moving in the direction as trying to play a bigger role in issues involving the role of privacy versus controls over the internet versus freedom of expression. And that's a very kind of sensitive issue. I think having the French, you know, sort of in the lead, if UNESCO goes in that direction, is probably better than having some of the other candidates like China and Egypt, for instance, which was another one of the front runners in this campaign. So that's one of the areas that is seen in the future as something where you're going to see a lot more activity from UNESCO.
You were talking about the era when the U.S. pulled out over Cold War divisions. How does that movement under the Reagan era compare with what's about to happen, it looks like, now in the Trump White House?
Well, I think it's, you know, it reflects deep cultural kind of reservations about UNESCO, particularly among conservatives. So it's not surprising that it's the Republican Party that's doing this. I mean, my sense is, this came as a bit of surprise to me because, I mean, the Americans have been focused, they've been very critical about other UN agencies, particularly the UN Human Rights Council. And for some of the same reasons, that it's sort of excessively critical of Israel, and that countries with bad human rights records try to get onto it so that they can protect themselves. So I would have thought that a move like this would have been more likely involving something like the Human Rights Council. There hadn't been a lot of attention, a lot of focus on UNESCO. They didn't seem to be paying attention to it. But I think, you know, the State Department is also very concerned. They're in a kind of budget-cutting mode this year. And, here's $500 million pot, which they have to pay, and which I don't assume they will pay anytime soon. But, you know, they see those numbers going up higher and higher, and they kind of wanted to stop the bleeding right now.
And how does this affect UNESCO as a whole, with the United States looking like it's going to be making an exit in the near future? What changes for UNESCO?
Well, I don't know that much will change because, you know, they weren't getting the money anyway. So essentially UNESCO after 2011. I mean, as I mentioned, 22% of their budget was came from the United States, so they had to make do with 22% less in their budget. And you know, they reached out to other countries to make contributions that were not part of the regular budget. I mean, like countries like China, which, you know, rarely do voluntary funding to international organizations, you know, kind of stepped in and was providing, you know, several million dollars for you know, teacher training programs in Africa. They gave them $5 million to stop, you know, to republish, you know, an old, you know, quarterly magazine that they used to put out called The Courier. I mean, I think for China, they see this as an opportunity to have an impact on issues that they care about. Like,
and we leave it there. Colm, thank you so much for joining us today.
All right. Thanks for having me. Take care.
Colm Lynch is a UN-based senior diplomatic reporter for Foreign Policy magazine. He joined us to talk about the United States' decision to withdraw from the United Nations Educational, Science, and Cultural Organization, better known as UNESCO.